the book of Romans, the first chapter of Romans. We're going to start at the 18th verse. And it reads thusly, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. And if I could pin a topic to my sermon on today, it would be intentional ignorance. Intentional ignorance. You may be seated. Intentional ignorance or willful ignorance. We know to be ignorant oftentimes is looked down as a negative, has a negative connotation to it, but the truth of the matter that to be ignorant of something means that you simply do not know. You don't understand. But where it becomes negative is when there's intentionality or willfulness behind it. When you know that you should be doing something, but you choose not to. Or you know that you should know something, but you choose not to. It's just pure intentional ignorance. When we look at this text, we see Paul is talking to the Romans. He's talking to the church in Rome. He's writing this epistle as he's sitting in Corinth. He's on his way to Rome by way of stopping there on his way to Spain, but he's going to Rome. He's excited to sit with the people. He tells them that he finally can make it to dwell with them. He writes this letter to these individuals. And he gives them this letter, and he gives them fundamental Christian doctrine and unify the believers in this particular letter. Paul did not establish the Church of Rome like he did many of the others, but yet was excited to commune with the people. Paul starts his letter with a greeting, as he do most letters. He starts his letter with a greeting, and he goes on to pray for the people. He talks about the power of the gospel. But then Paul goes on and he gets to verse 18. Verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, depending on which version you read, of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Paul gets to this particular verse and he begins to teach us that both the Jews and the Gentile and all men have willfully and intentionally denied Jesus Christ, denied the Lord. They've denied the word of God. They've denied instruction. When you look at the Old Testament, you'll see the Israelites, they deny what it is that has been told to them, and they end up going in circles. So he says right here, for the wrath of God. And we know that the wrath of God is, it's not just anger like humans feel. It's not just anger that we feel, but God's holy, just response to sin is wrath. It's one that can be far greater than what we understand and how we look at anger. It's God, the creator of all mankind. It's God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. It's God that is angry with you. And I don't know about you or me, you, but I know for me, I don't want the Lord to release his wrath upon me. And so it talks about, he goes on in that particular scripture and he says, talks about the ungodliness. Against all ungodliness is what God is releasing his wrath upon. That ungodliness simply means the turning away from God in worship and reverence. When we speak of ungodliness, that's exactly what it is. You talk about ungodliness, it's the turning away from God. It's the turning away of the instructions of God. It's the turning away from reverencing God and who he is and what he has done, because you feel like you may have all power in your hands, or things are done in your own power and your own nature. That is ungodliness. Unrighteousness says that he releases it on the unrighteousness, which unrighteousness is the wrong actions towards others, flowing from the fact that you're rejecting God. So ungodliness is from God, but for God and unrighteousness is towards each other. You don't understand what you're supposed to do towards each other because you're not in the word of God and in getting the instructions from the Lord. Man. And so he talks about that, and he says that they suppress the truth. People, and this is then, but this is also now, and a lot of us suppress the truth. We know the truth about God, but we decide to push it down, or we ignore it, or we deny it in order to keep living our sinful lives. We decide to push it down and ignore it and deny it so that we can continue to live what we think is comfortable, but it's really, we're living in a place of death. We continue to do these things, and a lot of times it's not the fact that you can't understand these things. It's the fact that you will not even attempt to do so. It is intentional ignorance. Paul goes on to tell us that the kingdom of God, that the knowledge of God is plain. It's plain. And a lot of us says that we don't understand it, but the truth of the matter is that it's built already on the inside of us. God is the creator, and he's built the knowledge on the inside of us. In the Amplified version, it says that he has revealed himself to everyone through consciousness and morality and the creation, all of the things that are around you. Every single day we walk outside and we see creation. We have to know that there's a beginning and an end to it. Then we have to know that there's somewhere somebody started something. And we have to, at some point, realize that it has to be God. Even the agnostic says, I don't believe in all the things, but I know that there's somebody somewhere that created something. And so it's built on the inside of us. And so we suppress this. We oftentimes, we choose to ignore it. We choose to ignore what is already revealed to us. The basic knowledge of there being a creator is already given to us. We can see it all around us. Every breath that we breathe, every time we open our mouth, every time we walk and we talk, we know that there is a creator, but we choose to deny it. Intentional ignorance. The word says that we can see it plain as day because of everything that is around us. The beauty, order, and power of this world shows his existence and his greatness. So no one can say they did not know there was a God. God has shown himself over and over again. So we are without excuse. The Bible tells us that we are without excuse. Paul says that in Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and foolish. Hearts were darkened. He says, see that they knew God. They had the knowledge of God, who God is, but refused to glorify him. They refused to worship and honor God as he deserves. And that's how some of us are today. We refuse to give God his credit. We refuse to worship God. We refuse to take time out with God. We refuse to just take 10, 20 minutes with God. We refuse to lift our hands when we come in the house of the Lord. We refuse to get on our knees and pray with the Lord. We refuse to meditate on his word day and night. We refuse to do so. And yet, God is so good that he gives us opportunity after opportunity to get it right. Yet every morning he wakes you and put breath in your body and you can't even turn around to say thank you. Some of us are just intentionally being ignorant. We are intentionally choosing. We know what's right, but choose to do wrong. And these types of actions, to know God and refuse to give him the honor and the glory, is the root of our sin. All glory and honor is due unto him. When we do this, it causes idolatry, because we put something else or ourselves in front of the Lord. We credit ourselves for what it is that we have and the things that we do instead of giving God the glory. And because we do it, it causes what the Bible says, futile thinking. The Bible tells us in scripture, it says that futile thinking is spoken all throughout the word of the Lord. Futile thinking is purposeless thinking. It's the disconnection from spiritual growth. It's the unproductive negative patterns that we have in our lives. There are times where we continuously do the same thing over and over and over and try to figure out why we are doing this. It's because of our futile thinking. It's because we want more of us and less of God. And sometimes we want less of God by intention, not by mistakes. It's intentional that we want less of God, because if we begin to get more of God, some things are changing our lives. If we begin to get more of God, we might go through some heartaches and some pains. Because when he takes you through some things, he does that for your protection and your redirection. Yes, this futile thinking is unproductive, negative patterns. It causes us to seek fulfillment in worldly things instead of seeking Christ alone. The Bible describes futile thinking as leading to an empty life and a darkening of the understanding. You urging people to reject in the favor of God's truth and wisdom. Futile thinking, it brings us on worthlessness and emptiness. We don't understand. Some of us won't pick the Bible up, and that is our excuse in saying that we do not understand it. But we cannot continue to use that, because one thing that I have realized is that God will put people around you. He will give you wise counsel that will teach you the ways of the Lord. But if you reject them and you reject the word of the God, it is intentional ignorance. It leads to nothing productive with this futile thinking. It causes mental darkness and being disconnected from God's light. Some of us, we deal with so much in day to day. Sometimes we just try to survive, but we try everything else except for the word of God. We will try any other means except for Christ and Christ alone. But we must understand that Christ is the only thing that can fill the voids that's on the inside of our lives. We will try to seek help from everybody else, but we won't go to God. The one, remember the creator, the one that created you. He knows all about you. He's weaved you together. He knew you before you was even formed in your mother's womb. And you won't go back to him for the answer to the problem. Leads, causes mental darkness. So a lot of times when we're dealing with anxiety and a lot of these issues, it's because we won't go to the light, but we rather sit in the darkness, leading to darkened understanding and a separation from true life. It causes you to never want to have the desire for the things of God. Never want to have conversations about God. Never want to be in the vicinity of people who are light, because their light are shining too bright for your darkness. But I'm here to tell you that he is the only way and the answer. Do not be intentionally ignorant when God has given you every means to come into an encounter with him. Says that they're foolish and that they become foolish. And their foolish hearts become darkened. They're not just speaking of those back in Rome, but this is even with us on today. The Bible is the same. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It stands the test of times. The word of God do not change. It's the only thing that is concrete. It is the only thing that we have in life that would not change. He says, yes, that they are just rebellious against God. And rebellion, understand this, it clouds your spiritual understanding. So when you get to a point in life where you want to know more, but you can't, it's because of your rebellious behavior. And we have to choose to put these things aside. We sometimes are willingly being disobedient. We are willingly being ignorant. And when you are willingly ignorant, it literally shows that you are literally ignoring God's truth. And ignoring God's truth is a dangerous place to be in. Because when you ignore His truth, now you accept everything else that somebody gives you. You accept any type of advice that comes your way. Just because it tickles your ears and it sounds good does not mean that it's good for you. The only thing that is true and will stand the test of time is the word of God. The only thing that can give you true life and life more abundantly is the word of God. Being intentionally ignorant when it comes to the word causes a hard heart. It causes a heart where people aren't compassionate and they can't see outside of only what their selfish desires is. And a hard heart is one who cannot show empathy. A hard heart is one that often brings us to unforgiveness and resentment and hate. A hard heart. Ephesians 4:18 says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. Now God told us that nothing can separate us from Him. But this right here says that it separates you from the life of God, the abundance of God, the things that you could have if you were connected to the vine. Did not say that He would leave you, because He never leaves or forsakes us. But it says that the life that you can have with the Lord on your side will be separated from you, and you will have a hardened heart due to your darkening in your understanding. Didn't say separation from God, but separation from the life God. Ignorance here isn't mere lack of knowledge, but the result of stubbornness. A lot of us are stubborn in our ways, and we only want what we want. We only want to go in one direction, and that's because we don't want to be uncomfortable. I am one who can stand here today and tell you that I have been stubborn in some of my ways because I did not want to be uncomfortable. I did not want to have a broken heart. But all I know is that when you follow the instructions of the Lord, even with your broken heart, He's a mender of broken hearts. Everything that you cause to yourself, He can fix it for you. But it's because of stubbornness, it's because of pride, it's spiritual numbness. We can't feel anything, nothing moves you. The conversations of God annoys you. This is caused by being intentionally ignorant. Especially when you are surrounded by those who are able to help you get to Christ Jesus. You are intentionally ignorant, you don't adhere to the warnings that are presented. You can't hear what is being told to you from those that God is trying to use in your life. You can't get out of your own way. It becomes willful blindness. Which is, willful blindness is you ignoring the evidence of God's power and judgment. We ignore what we see happening all around us simply because we want to stay in our sinful nature. God is too good for us to be intentionally ignorant to all of the goodness that He provides on the inside of our lives. He's too good to us for us not to want to worship Him. He's been too good for us not want to lift our hands and give Him glory and acknowledge Him for what He has done and what He is doing. He's too good.
Yes, yes, yes.
When you can't see the goodness of God, you're in a dangerous place. You're in a dangerous place. It's because of your spiritual blindness. It's because of your willful blindness that has come upon you because you are intentionally ignorant. Many choose this way of living because they do not want the responsibility of living according to the word of God. It's pure laziness. A lot of us have a problem with responsibility. We want things that come from the responsibility, but we don't want to take on the responsibility. And so a lot of us intentionally don't open our Bibles, intentionally don't want the word of God, so that we will not be responsible for what it is that the Lord is trying to teach us. We don't want to be responsible for the ways that he's telling us to walk. We don't want to be responsible for what comes along with this walk. We don't want to be responsible for hurting feelings and letting things go. We don't want to be responsible for having heartaches. We don't want to be responsible. It's pure laziness, and you're lazy in your physical man, so you're lazy in your spiritual man. James 4:1-17 says this: if anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin. Choosing to ignore what you know to be right is sinful in itself. It is sin for you to know what to do, but you just will not do it. For the lack of wanting the responsibility, it is sin. God wants us, he wants us to seek wisdom. So I stopped by here today just to give a little hope. God wants us to seek wisdom and not avoid it. Sometimes wisdom can be very uncomfortable because it counteracts the very things that we are actively walking in. But Proverbs, a book of wisdom, says that wisdom, it warns us. It says over in Proverbs 1:22, how long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? How long will you go knowing that there is an answer to your problem, but instead you rather keep walking in what you're walking in? How long will you continue to do the things that you're doing, knowing that there's an antidote to what it is that you're doing? How long? How long? So on today, I encourage you to make up your mind. Today, I encourage you to make up your mind to do better. It is in the mind where we have to be transformed and renewed first. Make up in your mind that you would give God just some time. Because a little time becomes a lot of time after a while. Because you will begin to get to a point where you just wanted more and more. You'll begin to realize how good God is. You'll begin to see that there was so much better than what you had going for yourself once you held on to the master's hand. You'll begin to see that the close proximity with God will begin to transform your entire life. The things that you used to do, you don't want to do no more. The places that you used to go, you ain't going to want to go no more. We try to figure out why we are not the best spouses or the best parents or the best children or the best, because we will not adhere to the instructions of the Lord. We want to make up our own things. We want to make up our own instructions. We want to go our own ways, but God has given us a blueprint for us to live by. But if you choose to continue to do your own thing, don't get mad when you get your own results.
Hey. All right.
So make up in your mind to give God some time, to surround yourself with people who can pour into you. And when they are pouring, listen. The Bible tells us to meditate on the word. I asked a question yesterday at the coffee and conversation that I had. I said, how often when we leave church on Sunday do we really sit and meditate on the word of God? A lot of times we leave church and we go eat, take our nap, and we back to the same old by Sunday evening. We don't even wait till Monday morning, but it says to meditate on the word both day and night. Because if you don't, Proverbs 29 through 33 says, since they hated knowledge so much and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without the fear of harm. I don't know about y'all, but the world we live in today, I would do everything possible to be at ease and live without the fear of harm. Proverbs 1 and 29, it shows us that rejection of God leads to destruction. You don't have to believe me, and I'm about to get out your way, but you don't have to believe me when it comes to this word about being ignorantly and willfully ignorant. You don't have to believe me, but you could just, if you pick up your Bible, you can go and look in the Old Testament over in Exodus, and you will see Pharaoh. He rejected clear signs from God. Even after 10 plagues, Pharaoh hardened his heart again and again and again. He saw undeniable evidence of God's power, but chose to ignore it until it cost him his firstborn son and his army in the sea, in the Red Sea. Okay, the Israelites was over in the wilderness. They ignored God's faithfulness. You don't have to believe that. You got King Saul. King Saul twisted the truth to avoid responsibility, like a lot of us do. We twist the truth. We lie. We tell partial truth to avoid responsibility. Don't be willfully ignorant when you got the truth in front of you, but yet you choose to do things your own way to avoid the responsibility. Yes, have to breathe. Like God has breathed all of these things inside of us. We just have to tap into it. Pharaoh ignored God's power. Israel ignored God's provision. Saul ignored God's command. The Pharisees ignored God's sign. And Felix, the governor over in Acts, ignored God's warning. And guess what happened to him? He missed out on his salvation. Some of us are going to keep on and keep on until we miss what it is that God has for us. We're going to continue to walk in our very own ways until we miss what it is that the Lord has for us. We got to understand that willful ignorance shows rejecting the truth. It means to reject the truth. It means to harden the heart. Willful ignorance means for us to intentionally go to hell. We don't like how that sounds, and we don't want to talk about hell often. And we like the sweet words, but the truth of the matter is, if God is giving you an opportunity day in and day out, he's giving you that opportunity to get some things that's wrong right in your life. He's giving you the opportunity to smooth some stuff around in your life. And I'm not saying that we're going to always get it perfect, but you got to keep working until the day of perfection. God shows us that how we respond to truth matters more than how much we know. Because when you respond to him in a manner that is conducive for your growth and that shows that you love him, God will continue to pour. He will continue to change the desires on the inside of you so that you may walk in the ways, in his ways. You will may think the way that he thinks. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But yet and still, we choose us over God. The better you respond, the more you'll know, because you'll want more and more. You'll begin to understand the reason why Christ died for your sins. You'll begin to understand the reason why Christ died for all of us. You'll begin to understand the sanctification process and the justification process. See, the thing about it is we believe that just if we confess with our mouth and we say that we believe in Jesus. See, the difference is when you believe in something, you walk according to your belief. We cannot say that we believe in Jesus and do absolutely nothing that he has told us to do. We cannot say that we are a Christian and don't walk like Christ. It is impossible. And my biggest fear is that some of us going to get to the gates and he's going to say, depart from me not, because I never knew you. And we're going to be saying all the things that we have done in our good works. And God is going to say, why did you do? See, it's about intention. One thing yesterday when we got done with the lesson, and I'm closing, Pastor. One thing yesterday when we got done with the lesson, I asked for a takeaway. And every person, almost every person in there responded with, they're going to be intentional with their walk. They're going to be intentional with the things that they do. They're going to be intentional with putting things aside, stuff that they know that's killing them. They're going to be intentional with getting out of environments that they know can cause any type of destruction to their life. This walk has to be intentional. When you do not feel like it, be intentional. When you are tired, be intentional. When you don't want to go, be intentional. When you can't pick up your Bible to read, be intentional. Think about all the things that God has done for you when he didn't have to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Be intentional about your walk with Christ, not intentional about being ignorant to his word. Amen?
Amen.